Thank you. I trust y'all can hear me well. Brother James expressed concern that my microphone been acting up lately. And I thought to myself, well, I'm glad they actually want to hear me than not want to hear me. But I trust the Lord will bless what I say, that it's worth hearing and to be glorifying and honoring to his name. Couple of Sundays ago, I had to apologize to our home church there in Lavergne. I had preached on a subject that was very doctrinal, and I had mentioned at the end that it had been a long time since I've preached a straight doctrinal sermon. They all came through the handshake and they said, "Yeah, don't wait that long again. We want to hear more. We never get tired of the doctrines of grace." And so I felt like I needed to do a better job and started trying to talk to them about our blessed doctrine that we believe as Primitive Baptists that the Bible teaches. And in light of all their prayer requests and these sick folks, those that we love, as they are on the beds of affliction, I can't think of anything better to give them comfort than the doctrines of sovereign grace. I remember when I was in the hospital with COVID, I've got a phone call from two ministers back to back, Elder Gary Rhodes and Elder Larry Smith. And I said, "I want y'all to pray for me, but I want you to tell me about Jesus Christ and him crucified. I want to know about the doctrines of grace, because I can't think of anything better that will comfort me right now." It was a great blessing. Now, what I'd like to talk to you tonight, I remember in the days when I went to college, I had a job working in the fields of a pecan nursery. We worked outside the old tractor, hoed a lot of weeds, planted a lot of trees, took care of them. A lot of times during the summer, we were out there all day. We were out there in the winter and all kinds of weather. And there are three types of folks that worked out in the fields. College students, illegal aliens, and for lack of a better term, losers. College students to try to get some money to take care of things. The illegal aliens came to send money back home, and the losers, they didn't want anything. They just wanted enough money to probably buy illegal substances. When you're outside all day and you're with a bunch of know-it-all college students, you try to find ways to pass the time, and we landed on talking about religion. More like arguing religion. My brother Mike worked there. We had all different flavors, all different kinds. We even had some Muslims and Hindus on the international students. Everybody was a know-it-all because they were college students. We find some things we'd agree, but when we got to a point of what does it take to save sinners from their sins? It was everybody against me and Mike. We'd say, "Well, we believe in salvation by grace," and they say, "Well, we do too." We'd say, "Well, we believe that grace is unmerited favor bestowed upon an undeserving creature." They say, "Yeah, that sounds about right." And we'd say, "Based upon that, now, there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. It's all based upon the grace of God and the finished work of Jesus Christ." And they'd say, "Well, yeah, but you still got to believe." We'd argue about that. We'd say, "Well, if you say you believe in grace, but then you say that you got to believe, that doesn't make sense." Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verse 6, "If it be by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace, but works. I grew up and they said, I heard the preachers talk about grace. Works is like oil and water. You can mix it and stir it for 1,000 years. It'll always separate. I believe in grace. I also believe that belief is a work. We ought to believe. It's how we understand about grace. How we can give the Lord a worship and praise that he deserves. It gives us joy and comfort. It gives us the abundant life to understand that salvation is finished and that it is secure. We are preserved in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I found the scripture, and I'll say this, all those debates, don't be to study the Bible more, and I found the scripture. This is found in John chapter 6 and verse 28. These people are talking to Christ after he had fed the 5,000. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? That's a good question. And they're asking the right person. They want to work the works of God. Well, what is it? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Now, I think that we ought to believe. Jesus said, it's the work of God. But he said, it's a work. Well, believe can't save you. But I believe that only the saved can believe. I think they all ought to believe. I ought to believe better than I do. It's the work of God. That work is to believe on whom he whom God had sent, that be Jesus Christ. Now, I was growing in the ministry. My father, one of my fathers in the ministry, Elder Bill Walden, drove this point into me time and time again. He'd say, Brother David, life must precede action. I thought that was a brilliant statement because it makes perfect sense. It makes sense in the natural world. You see somebody moving, somebody breathing, somebody speaking, that shows they're alive. They didn't do that to get alive. They do it because they're alive. That's an action. Life preceded that action. That's the same in the spiritual world and in the doctrinal sense. Someone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who confesses that he is the Savior, they believe, that means they've got spiritual life. A spiritual act takes spiritual life. And if they hadn't been saved, chosen, born again, if the Lord hadn't opened their heart, my friends, they never would believe. I like over there when Paul went to Caesarea. He was there 3 days and went down to the river and saw those women praying. And he preached Christ unto them. And the Bible says that the Lord opened the heart of one Lydia, and she listened, and she believed, and she was baptized. Well, the Lord opened her heart. She had to have a heart for the Lord to open. That means a spiritual heart that the Lord put in. I believe in regeneration when we're born again. But even so, even though that she was a child of God, It says the Lord opened her heart that she could receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we believe, that means God blessed us. God chose us. God saved us. God regenerated us. God converted us. The Apostle Paul, I believe, was born again on the road to Damascus. If you don't believe that, I love you anyway, but I disagree with you. But I believe he was. But I don't, you know, he didn't really know him much. He called him Lord. He obeyed what the Lord told him to do. But he was blind. They had to lead him into the city. He was over there in straight streets, as I like to say. What happens on straight streets? Where you get straightened out. I've been there lots of times because I've needed a lot of straightening out. I tell you one thing that straightened me out, though, is when I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Ananias came, called him Brother Saul, and preached Christ to him, it says the scales fell from his eyes. He could see. He could see physically, but I think he saw some things spiritually he'd never seen before. His heart was open and his eyes were open. And he listened and he believed. I believe he also rejoiced. He preached that night the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a day it was, my friends, in my life. That when I went to church, I went to church all my life. I heard sermon after sermon. But it wasn't until I was 14 years old at an association in Corsicana, Texas, that Elder Charles Sandage preached Christ. I know I've heard sermons. I mean, my dad preached. My granddad preached. But it took a man that I'd never met until that day. Got up there, he preached Christ. My heart was open. I believe, and I rejoice. They say, as Paul, as the scripture says, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Life became new. The church just glowed, just shone to me. I love the people. I think I was born again. I don't know when, but I do believe I was born again before that sermon touched my heart. But that belief gave me joy, and I was able to do the work of God. I did that first work. Lord, I believe. Sometimes he helps my unbelief, but I know my friend's belief didn't get me there. I was there in his mind when he chose me before the foundation of this world. I was there in his mind when he predestinated me to be conformed to the image of his son. And I was there when he sent his spirit to quicken me. I was there when that sermon touched that renewed heart. I was in his mind when he hung on the cross and paid my sin debt. I trust we're all in his mind right now as he is the great shepherd. As all these requests come up with these precious brothers and sisters. I've been on a sick bed. I've been in the hospital. And I knew that disease might kill me physically, but I've already been healed of the worst disease of all, and that sin. The great physician came and applied his blood, paid my debt, and cured me of that chronic, terminal disease of sin. And then, on top of it all, he built the church. He called men to preach. He preserves his word in the Bible. He gives us his spirit. These men get up there by the power of God and proclaim the gospel. What a miracle that is. That hell-deserving sinners can get up there and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And hell-deserving sinners can hear it, know it, believe it, and give God the glory. That didn't save me, but it sure enough saved me right here in this life. And it saved me from fear. It saved me from worry. And it saved me to hope. And to an expectation, and to a confidence, not in me, but in God. And we can read on about how he told them, you want to do the work of God? Believe. Believe on he who he sent, the one talking to you. He is the way, the truth, the life. The truth is speaking the truth to you. You know what they said? And they said, therefore, unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? You don't need a sign. You need grace. You don't need something to convince you to become a child of God. You need grace. You can't do what is necessary to make you a child of God. You can't do what's necessary to put you in a position of belief. You can't open your own heart. You can't open your own mind. You can't open your own eye. God does that. But when it's spoken to us, when it's said to us, we ought to rejoice in that. But they're looking back to man. Well, what are you going to do? Give up something to help us. Then they said, our fathers did eat. Our fathers did eat man in the desert. And as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Well, Moses gave us a sign. Why can't you? Well, he just fed 5,000 plus with 7 loaves. No, with 7 fishes. So many loaves and so many fishes. 7 and 2. I can't remember. 5 and 2. He just fed all that. What are y'all talking about? And then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. He's talking about the bread of life. He's talking about himself. He's not talking about those barley loaves and those fishes. And he's not talking about the manna in the desert. Those are signs they pointed to our Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, Moses didn't give it to him. Well, Moses didn't even give him the manna. God gave it to him. But that manna wasn't the bread from heaven. It wasn't the bread of that. Those barley loaves wasn't the bread of heaven. He says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. That's Christ. That's the bread of life. And we have that given to us, explained to us, brought to us, expounded to us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why I felt so remiss the other Sunday, when the sheep came to me and they said, Brother David, we want to hear the gospel. We want to hear the doctrine. Preach to us the doctrine. I even had folks that weren't even a member, that ought to be, that aren't, came to me and said, yeah, I want to hear more of that. That sounded good. It sounded good because it is good, because it came from me that is good, the only good. And it's the best news we'll ever hear. He said, that's the bread. The bread is he that cometh down from heaven. They said, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. Jesus said of them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you have also seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, does that bother you? Does that make you worry? Well, I need to come to Christ, don't I? He's not going to cast anyone out. That's what he said. And he said, all that the Father giveth me. Well, I tell you, this is not anything that we do. All that the Father giveth me, that's election. They're given to Christ. He'd say, I am the children which thou hast given me to save, to preserve, to keep. They'll all come to him. What does that mean? Verse 44, he said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up again, or raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man that therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. And then he goes on. Well, you can't come to Christ unless you're drawn to Christ. Irresistibly drawn by, I trust, by the grace of God. You never would have known Christ if you hadn't been drawn to God. You didn't ask the Lord to draw you to Christ. Your belief is not what drew you to Christ. Or it's God's power. It's God's grace. You know, they say, I've been told this by my mother, that the first word out of my mouth was mama. I don't remember it, but that's what she said. I said, mama. Something told me that person was mama. I had never called anybody else mama before, but I called her, and I never called anyone else that. She was my mother. How did I know that? I was a baby. Something told me. Something reached into my mind, in my heart. But let me ask you this. Did she become my mother when I called her mother? She had always been my mother. She was my mother when I was in her womb. She was my mother when I was born. She was my mother if I had never said mama. And she'll always be my mother. And our Lord didn't become our Savior when we believed. He had always been our Savior. And he is our Savior even if we do not believe. Because as Paul said in Romans chapter 3, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. The Lord knoweth them that are here. All those that are here will come to Christ by the irresistible drawing power of regeneration. He comes and they legally, spiritually, covenantly, they have been his. And all that needs to be done to make them his is done by him. And we become his children. We don't have to know it to become his children. And if we don't know it, that doesn't mean we're not his children. But it sure feels good to know it. And it sure is comforting in times when things aren't going so well. And when we're worried about our health or our nation or our churches or our children or about our spouses. Sure, it feels good when you see yourself have committed sin. You're not only a sinner by nature, you're a sinner by practice. I know he saved me from my sin, but I still sin. It's not an excuse to sin. Matter of fact, I feel terrible when I reflect upon it. like that song I requested. In heaven alone, no sin is found, and there's no weeping there. But he wept. Oh, how he wept. Oh, how he lamented. Oh, how he suffered. What pain he must have gone through on that cross. But he was made to be sin who knew no sin. That was horrifying to him. Look how blessed we are. One of these days, we're not going to know sin when we've always known sin. But one of these days, we will not be sin. We'll be in a glorified body fashioned after his. I don't know how that feels, but it's going to be the best feeling ever. I want to believe more. I want to believe better. I want to do better. But I give him all the glory for that. And we're here tonight because he saved us. We're not here to get saved. We've already been saved. But maybe we can be delivered a little while here in time from the cares of this life. And we can just leave the wailing and gnashing of the world and come into a fellowship with each other. And it's a moment of peace. Heaven's going to be so much better than even this. But I'm glad we got this. I love each and every one of you. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. I'll turn it over to Brother James. Maybe he can straighten some things out that I left. And we'll just trust the Lord will be glorified. Thank you.